Amen. Amen. I want to say, even before we start Bible class, I appreciate you all letting me be your pastor. I do. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you. And I know that it's not always easy, amen, to place yourself under subjection to a leader. And I appreciate you all entrusting me with that responsibility. I really do. And so I want to say that. And I realize that's not always easy, especially for the, you know, it's one thing for it to be a younger person, but especially for the older ones. Thank you. Thank you for not giving me a hard time. I appreciate that. Amen. All right. I was talking to somebody yesterday that I felt like had good intentions, but it was just a little bit misguided. And I give the Lord praise that even though that person's old enough to be, well, I'm not going to say all that, but they were older than me, but yet they still were able to receive from me. Amen. And that shows me right there. When you're able, how many people realize you're not above correction? Amen. And when you can receive, the ability for you to receive correction, it speaks of your maturity. Because I don't know about you, we have all needed some, you know, some redirection at times. And when the Lord has placed me over this church, amen, he allows me to see some things sometimes that maybe you don't see. And sometimes I see things, you know, good intentions, but a bit misguided, you know. And whenever you receive correction, how many of you all, you've been driving the car? Y'all, some of y'all can't drive in the snow, but how many people in here drive all right in the snow? I'm looking around for somebody I know right now. I'm making sure. Hold on, keep your hand up because I want to make sure this person don't have their hand raised. Oh, they're not even here. I'm looking for somebody I know good and well. Can't drive worth a lick in the snow. Good. I saw them creeping along down Georgetown Road coming to church. I mean, you would have thought we was living in New York City with, you know, all traffic going around and 2 feet of snow the way they was creeping along. I mean, just scared of their own shadow. You know, and I thought to myself, there are times that you can be in a slippery place, and you already know, what do they tell you to do if you start slipping? What do you do? Skirt! No, you just rip on that steering wheel. No, you got to, what do you got to do? You got to pump them brakes. Now, that's before y'all had analog brake systems. You know, you can your car does it for you now, but back in the day, you had to pump that brake a little bit. And if you overcorrect it, what will happen? Next thing you know, if you overcorrect, you'll go spinning all the way around. And that's what some of us do when we receive correction. Next thing you know, like say, for instance, Brother Montreal, I give the Lord praise for him. Where's he at? Brother Montreal, praise the Lord for you. Amen. Come on, help me give the Lord praise. Good to see him on the organ. Now, what if all of a sudden I told Brother Montreal, too loud on the organ, Brother Montreal. And then what do you see? Some people can't receive correction. Turn it all the way down. I'll show pastor. Forget that. I'm too loud on that organ. I'm going to turn it all the way down where you can barely hear it. You know, and just the wrong type of attitude and the wrong type of spirit. And by you overcorrecting, what's going to happen? You'll end up getting an accident. Y'all hear where I'm going with this? Amen. So thank you again for letting me be your pastor. And thank you, amen, for the maturity that I see in you all. Anytime that I have to say something, I appreciate you all not overcorrecting things or just going too far to the opposite extreme as if you had something to prove, because that shows immaturity in you all. And I know that this church is a mature church that's going places in the Lord. I am so excited about some of the things that the Lord is doing in this place, and I'm excited about the things that I have actually to announce in the upcoming, you know, weeks ahead. And so keep on praying for the church. I'm excited about what God is doing. Now, with that said, let's watch the news on tonight. How many people in here watch the news? Anybody watch the news yesterday? How many of y'all went outside and enjoyed the eclipse? Well, good. I'm glad. Now, while this is playing, I'm going to give him maybe about 5 minutes. Let's watch the news for about 5 minutes. Sister Angie, you have the sound raised up so we'll be able to hear it. All right, appreciate that. But while they're getting this queued up and getting ready to go, I want you to look up some scriptures right now about the beauty of God's creation, about scriptures that would just declare the glory of God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight just to tell me some word that would, you know, drive home the point that God is our maker and our creator, and this is his glorious creation, all right? So you be looking up some scriptures. Meanwhile, Brother Scooter, you can go ahead and play the nightly news with Lester. How come I can always, it's like every time y'all play, I can barely hear it. It can't get no, hold on, just pause. If it can't get no louder than that, let's just stop it. Is that as loud as we can get it? All right, we'll wait. All right, be looking up some scriptures. Let me give you a chance while they're getting that a little bit louder for me. Looking up some scriptures about the glory of God's creation. Anybody got one? Or you need me? I got a whole list of them. Anybody got one? Offhand, Sister Michelle? My God. What is man? All right, that's a good one. Anybody else got one? Sister Donaldson, yes, ma'am. Okay, now I'm going to read that one because that was one of the ones that I wanted to read, but you read it like you was just so kind of bored with it, Sister Donaldson. I want you to read it like you was that lady in the play a couple weeks ago. Can you read that one more time for me? Boy, you read that like you've been at work all day. Come on here. Let me do it for you. That's Psalms 19:1. Read that with a little bit more enthusiasm. Go ahead, Sister Donaldson. I'll give you one more chance to redeem yourself. Come on, so the heavens are trying to tell you something. The heavens are above us, and they testify of God's handiwork. All right, come on, all right?
And the firmament showeth his handiwork.
All right, good, good, good. Anybody else got one? All right, they ready to go with the video? I'll give you a chance in just a second, Elder White. Play that from yesterday, the glory of God. Good.
Laughter and joy. So many others take the road to get the best view possible.
y'all quit laughing.
All right, that's good, Brother Scoot. I appreciate it. Amen. But I give the Lord praise. I don't know about you, but when I looked at that, I was absolutely blown away at the glory of God. I was like, Lord, have mercy. I don't know if some of you all just kind of discounted that and just kept on going about. But when I stopped and saw what I saw, I don't understand how anybody could deny that there is a great big God. Amen. Who created heaven and earth. Can we get the Lord some praise? Genesis 1 and 31, it tells us, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All right, somebody in here, I'm going to give you just a few moments here. Anybody else got a scripture for me about God's creation? Elder White, I saw your hand raised. Yes, sir. All right, what's that say? Come on, the earth is whose? The earth is the Lord's, all right? Come on. All right. My God. Amen. Somebody give me another. Anybody else got one? Anybody? Sister Joyce. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I had one right here. He had made. Come on. I mean, there's always this sense of amazement. I mean, I've been on this earth 43 years, and when I stood out there yesterday, I was just like a child again. I had never seen anything like that. And I thought to myself, now there have been other eclipses, but I had never in my life. Now, some of you all, maybe y'all seen that before, but I ain't never seen a total eclipse before. I mean, I sat out there, and I was like, I was here at the church. You know, it's so crazy to me that some of the most major events that I've ever experienced have been at the church. First of all, getting the Holy Ghost, amen, but even naturally. So one of the strongest winds that I've ever felt was here at the church. I never forget when we had a hailstorm. I had never seen hail before, and I was here unlocking the door for the brotherhood, and I heard all that, the noise on the ceiling, on the roof, and I thought, what is that? Ran outside to see, and I'm telling you, I thought I had never seen all those large round balls on the ground that particular storm. And the first thing I thought was, oh, God, my car. And so I tried to pull my car, and I'm running out there. But I'm telling you, as soon as I got outside, underneath the awning that's out there, a strong wind, the strongest wind I have ever felt, has been at this church. I flipped the door wide open, ran outside, and by the time I'm trying to run to my car, I grabbed at the guardrail, wind flew up, and my whole body is all of a sudden wet. And I saw another guy pull up, people afraid. A little couple pulled up where Bishop was parked up there. Another guy looked like just a thug. I mean, looked like he was just about to, you know, just do whatever he wanted to do. He shouldn't be afraid of anybody. And he came up here with his gold tooth, pants sagging. And it looked like he had tears in his eyes, almost like he needed a hug. He came up under the canopy out here. And I mean, I could just see the fear on him. And I thought to myself, my God, there's coming a day. Well, people are going to see something that happens, and they're going to try to run to the church. But guess what? It's going to be too late by that point, because the church, hopefully, I won't be here. I don't know about you. Now, maybe some of y'all be here, but hopefully, I'll be gone. Anybody want to hear Jesus or see Jesus' face in peace? Anybody here want to be caught up, amen, to meet the Lord in the air? Amen. All right. But yesterday, that's how I felt. I was like, Lord, wow, that was just amazing. Sister, Lord. Come on, Bertha Brown, Sister Brown.
One thing that shocked me was
that the birds stopped singing. Okay. It was amazing. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I was not expecting that at all. I mean, I think I had seen the partial eclipses before. And so I just kind of summed it up to be just like that. And I was like, what's all the hype about? You know, I had heard about it. And, you know, I had saved some glasses. The last solar eclipse that we had was in 2017. And I think that must have just been a partial. I don't remember it being like yesterday. So anyway, I had saved my glasses all that time. Years. How many years is that? And then right when I took this job and moved from my classroom over to the church, I don't know how I ended up throwing those glasses away.
You know, and so anyway, yesterday I had three appointments that were stacked up, and I'm trying to watch my time, but back to back, you know, yesterday. And so probably about 2 o'clock, Sister Miter, Stephanie Miter came in, and she gave me some glasses. And so anyway, my family was over at my sister-in-law's house, and, you know, I came over there, drove over there to watch the eclipse with the family, and I thought it would be fun for the kids. But I had no hype in me. I was just kind of like, all right, this is nice, you know, nice little time. And Mike said, I'm outside. I'm going to make the kids some lunch, you know. So I came over with some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them, being a nice dad. And then I started looking at my brother-in-law, Brother Rodney out there riding the lawnmower, doing work. And I started feeling bad because I knew I had plenty of things to do here at the church. And, you know, I'm looking at him being so disinterested. And I felt to myself like, well, maybe I shouldn't be so happy about it. You know, and maybe I shouldn't be so interested in it. And, you know, maybe I should just get back to work. So by that time, it's 3 o'clock. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Earlier that morning, Mama called me, and she didn't have no glasses. And now, mind you, how long have they been talking about the solar eclipse coming on April 8th? How many of y'all didn't have no glasses? Don't tell on yourself. How many of y'all didn't have no glasses, wasn't ready? Either had a, for me, I had a disinterest. You know, I heard about it, but I really wasn't that concerned about it. And I had some glasses for a long, long, I had saved my old glasses, but threw them away. Thank God for Sister Minder, saved old pastor. Came in with some glasses for me. Mama called me. And my own mother didn't have no glasses. So me and Micah breaks out, and she said, my mother made me feel bad. This is probably going to be my last eclipse. I'm serious. She laid it on thick, and I mean, I've got to feeling bad. And Micah went on out and found some glasses, went to the YMCA, found glasses, and then I had another pair. And I tried to call Mama, couldn't find Mama nowhere. You know, I called her all day long, called her several times to try to find Mama. Mama couldn't, you know, Mama ended up being in Walmart. Missed the whole eclipse, riding around in Walmart. Now, where am I going with this? There is going to be something, an event that happens that is going to be far greater than the solar eclipse. Now, listen, hold on. I'm not trying to get real deep. I know it was a whole lot of saints yesterday that got real deep. Maybe somebody got so deep that they actually thought that, you know, they predicted it and said tomorrow's going to be the coming of the Lord. And now the world is looking at the church saying, nah, 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 nah. You know, Jesus didn't come back. I didn't say he's coming back yesterday. You know, I didn't say that at all. But what I am telling you, and I still stand flat-footed today, one day Jesus is coming back. And I ain't taking nothing back from that. One day, I don't know the day nor the hour, but one day I do know for a fact that Jesus is going to come back again, and it will be far greater, amen, than any solar eclipse in what you saw yesterday. Amen. Somebody, can we give the Lord praise for that? Amen. Now, you know, ain't going to be no glasses that you can purchase for this one, but anybody in here got some oil in your lamp and glad to have it? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, don't wait. Try not to wait to get oil in your lamp. Because who knows? You know, it might be mama, sister, brother. They might be in Walmart. And here come Jesus coming. What are they going to be? Giving in marriage, eating and drinking and giving in marriage. You know, might be somebody in your family that's a little disinterested in it. Nah, I ain't worried about it. I got stuff to do. And next thing you know, just like yesterday with my brother-in-law, kind of took my, just, it made me feel like I just need to go back and get to work. So I literally drove from here, or from over there. I felt so bad about that. I drove all the way back to the church. And by then, it was probably about 3:02. So I sat outside. I said, I'm too close now. You know, totality. And so let me go on out, sit outside and see totality. And I am so glad that I didn't come back in this church and start working on something, you know, and miss that whole moment, because I allowed somebody else's disinterest to rub off on me. Now, am I throwing off on my brother-in-law? Yeah, a little bit, you know, but we can't. we can't, you know, but it's all, to be truth be told, it's all right if you miss the solar eclipse, but just don't miss the coming of the Lord is what I'm saying. All right? I mean, because I'm going to tell you what, it's a whole lot of people been hearing that for a long, long time and are very disinterested in it. And if you're not careful, that same disinterest from mama, from family, from your brothers and sisters, if you're not careful, you'll turn your nose up at it and you'll be sitting up here in Walmart or in Sam's Club doing some samples or getting samples and things and miss out on the coming of the Lord. All right. Mama mad now somewhere listening. All right. I love you, Mama. All right. Let's go over here to Matthew 24 on tonight. Matthew 24. All right. Now, I very humbly am going to try to dive into this on tonight. I want you to understand that I recognize the various viewpoints on things. I recognize that. I will say this. I stand flat-footed and say that no man knows the day nor the hour. So after y'all chop it up and argue it, you know, there was probably several years ago, there was such a great, and I watch things come through the church world in waves. You know, it's like certain subjects just hit the church world, and there's a lot of chatter about it, and then it might die down again. The next thing you know, it'll pop up again. I mean, recently we dealt with, you know, women in ministry. I mean, that argument is old as time, and then it'll pop up for a minute, it'll die back down, pop up again. But, you know, recently, about 5, 6, maybe 10 years ago, I started hearing a lot of chatter, like post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation. Everybody's talking about the tribulation and all these arguments in the church about it. And at the end of the day, no man knows the day nor the hour. Now, as for me, Pastor, I got a hope in the pre-tribulation. I sure hope the Lord will come and get me before any tribulation hits this world. That's my hope. Now, I'll let you, you know, talk about your position, but I want to get up out of here. Amen? All right. Now, let's go over here to Matthew 24. This is the Olivet Discourse. This is Jesus' last week on this earth, and he is speaking to his disciples. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. Y'all with me? And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? You see this temple? All right, now, Brother Scoot, did you get any of my slides that I have? The first temple, let's put it up. First temple that was built was Solomon's temple. If you could put that up there for me. All right, there's Solomon's temple. And then, of course, because of Israel's rebellion, that temple was destroyed. They had to go through exile, captivity. And then eventually they will come back to Israel. And then there's another temple, Zerubbabel's temple, that was built after it. I mean, and we know the story. Some of you all know how the older people who remembered the former glory of the temple, they was over there crying because they can remember how glorious it was. And then all the younger people was like, yay, the temple, because they don't know how it used to be. All right, so there's a sound of confusion, all right? You can see the before and the after here. But eventually, Herod would come and expand this temple, and now, you know, it became this glorious large place with sidewalks. And so in Jesus's day, it was more of a larger structure. All right. So you see it on the screen here. Now, imagine the disciples seeing this. And I mean, at this particular point in time in history, people lived in small little houses. I mean, now I know you all are used to seeing skyscrapers and big luxurious buildings and glass, you know, all over the buildings and bright lights and all these things. But back in those days, this building, I mean, it's still nice to me, but especially for people back in those days. And life really kind of revolved around the temple, all right? And so listen to this conversation. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show for him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, there shall not be thrown down. And so in other words, these people are looking at this temple. How in the world would this happen? How in the world would this beautiful building, you know, become absolutely just rubble? And Jesus tells him, he basically prophesies that this would happen. I believe it was about 40 years later, after he had, you know, died and risen again, that there was a conquest that came in. I believe the Romans came in, and that temple was totally destroyed. All right? And if you go to Jerusalem today, show that the next picture. You'll go to the Temple Mount. Is there a temple that's there? Yeah, well, you can call it. There's a mosque that's there called the Dome of the Rock, because there have been so many conquests that have come through Jerusalem. And now, even though I believe Israel, they have the military will protect this area, but the control or the day-to-day operations of the Temple Mount would be from the Muslims. All right? And so now show them the Dome of the Rock that's up there. on the Temple Mount. Beautiful golden structure that's up there. There we go. All right. It's a beautiful place on the Temple Mount, but this is a Muslim temple. Don't think if you go there that this is just going to be a Jewish place. They're going to make you come in there with a head covering on and all these things because the Muslims have control. And on the inside of it is a rock, and they believe, I believe that Muhammad had this night vision and, you know, went to heaven on it is what the Muslims believe. Now, I'm not a Muslim, so forgive me if I have any Muslims listening. I got your religion wrong. I've tried the best to tell the story. But anyway, I do know that's a Muslim mosque. And so what I'm saying here is years later, there is still not a temple that the Jews would recognize there. And so, in other words, what I'm saying is everything that Jesus said, it came to pass. And everything that Jesus has prophesied or has said, it still will come to pass. If he said he's coming back, don't you know he's coming back? Now, if he told, do you realize there's like over 300 prophecies that, even over that, that predicted his first coming? It doubled that number for his second coming. All right, now let's keep on reading here. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? All right? So these questions they ask him. What are the questions here? When will these things happen? What are the signs of your coming and the signs of the end of this world? All right? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go ahead, you read the words of Jesus. Come on, read. Hold on. Why are y'all slowing up? Come on. Verse number 5. What will happen? All right. And shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise. All right, verse 8. All right, now give me the translation on verse number 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Let's read this translation. No, verse number 8, please. Yes. But all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. How many ladies in here have given birth? All right, and now I thank God I've never experienced that, never will. Give the Lord praise. Well, come on, all the brother. Let's thank God. No desire at all. Praise God. No, no. Absolutely. I'm not jealous at all for you, for what you. I know, you know, no, not me. Thank God. So, but anyway, so I hear, you know, when a woman goes into labor, in the beginning, the birth pains start, and then they intensify or get closer together as the time grows near. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Teresa, you're giving birth to babies. All right. So, that's what this is saying here. In the beginning, you will notice things, but as the time grows nearer to that time, things will become more severe. All right? Okay, now let's keep reading here. All right, where are we at? Verse number 8. All right, are we there? All right, verse number 9, rather. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Anybody heard any false prophets? Anybody heard anybody coming about? There have been many people that have actually even said they were Jesus Christ. I'm serious. And got a following, too. That's the scary part about it. Saying something that's so brazen and bold and yet still got somebody following them. All right? Be careful. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What's that mean, somebody? Verse number 12, help me out. Anybody? Sister Judy, yes, ma'am. There will be a falling away because of iniquity, because the world is getting so crazy and there's iniquity on the rise, the love of many gonna wax cold. A lot of people are going to start getting disinterested. A lot of people, the love that they once had for God is going to start dwindling. All right, be careful. Return to your first works, to your first love. All right, verse number 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Come on, how many people want to be saved? All right. Now, I believe that much of this this is referring to Jerusalem. And I'm hoping that as things intensify, the church will be up out of here. Amen. But let's just keep on reading to the things that will happen. All right. Verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, we would at one point wonder how the gospel will be preached in all the world. But now, I mean, right now, my voice is not just in Agape. Right now, somebody in some other place right now. I dare say some foreign country right now might be tuned in to what I'm saying right here at 6240 North Georgetown Road. How quick just the word travels, all right? Verse number 15. So we can see the backdrop for the coming of the Lord. The stage is set, all right? And God's coming is imminent. It can happen at any moment. The rapture could take place at any moment. Now, I believe a lot of this is referring to the second coming, but there is a rapture of the church. Come on, church. All right. Now, all right, let's keep on reading. Verse number, where we at? 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. There is a great tribulation that will happen, all right? And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, come on, it's going to be very convincing, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall. So there's going to be in the cosmos or in the heavens, there's going to be some signs and some things that are happening. All right. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. All right. Now, I believe there's a little bit more than just a solar eclipse. All right. Now, I think, you know, it's sometimes we got to be so careful that we don't read too much into everything. All right. Now, somebody yesterday, he was trying to sell this scripture, you know, for a solar eclipse, all right? But let's be careful, you know, because none of us know, you know? All right, and then, I mean, there have been so many people that have come before us. I mean, how many ignorant people do we have to see make shipwreck before we stop being so ignorant? And just say, you know what, no man knows the day nor the hour, you just need to be ready at all times. Hello? Be ready at all times, all right? You know, it's been people who have, you know, sold their house. Didn't get surgery, didn't get the teeth fixed, you know, because they thought, you know, for sure, oh, on this particular date, the Lord's coming, all right? No, you don't know. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from heaven, and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender, and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. There's going to be some signs that summer is nigh. You're going to be able to discern the signs of the time. There's going to be some indications, all right? So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Y'all bored yet? Good, because I'm going to keep on reading tonight. I've been having this reading spirit. Lord have mercy. I'm sorry. All right. But we're going to read some more. And I'm going into 25, too, so just be mad, all right? All right. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Y'all hear that? But who only? But my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, come on, and the other what? Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not that what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, I don't know about you. If you told me you was coming to my house to break in my house tonight and I had my family in there, I'm going to be waiting on you with a baseball bat. All right, probably something a little bit more than that. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. Don't do that. All right. Therefore, but hold on. You got to be ready. You better be ready. But since you don't know the time, be ready at all times. Come on, be ready at all times. Amen. You know what? So watch what you do. Watch what you say. Watch how you interact. Watch how you treat each other. You know, all them type of things. Come on. Watch how you conduct yourself. Be ready, be ready, be ready. You've invested too much in this. Some of you all, come on, I'm talking. Let me just talk to the seniors right now. You have invested so much of your life. Why in the world would you come so close and miss out on this thing? Don't you allow the enemy to steal your reward from you? Come on, no, little, you don't want to hear this little young pastor trying to talk to you right now. Don't you get that attitude at this late date and miss out on what God would have for you? Don't you start cutting up now, you know? Yeah, I know sometimes, you know, listen, we can get some tenure in our walk with God, and we can feel, ooh, you know, like we just know everything and all these things, but Lord have mercy. You better watch yourself. You can still miss out. My God, keep it together. Keep it together. I'm middle-aged flesh fight, old flesh fight, young flesh, all flesh is grass, and you got to fight. Come on. Flesh don't stop being flesh. Boy, I didn't learn some things. When I was a kid growing up, Lord, I thought I didn't hurt stuff going on even in the nursing homes. I mean, seriously, I read an article. I mean, how are STDs breaking out in the nursing home? I read that and I thought to myself, like, Lord, have mercy. Because you know what I learned by the end is that all flesh is grass. Flesh is flesh. Flesh don't all of a sudden graduate from being flesh until this mortality puts on immortality. So you still wrestling too, all right? Amen. All right, so I was beating up the young people on Sunday night. Now I got to come for the rest of y'all. All right, we get. All right. All right, let's keep going. Come on, help the pastor out. Y'all cutting up. All right, now, verse, where are we at? 45. Who then is faithful and is a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant. Come on, tune in now. Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to, listen to what he does, listen at this, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Watch how you treat other people. Come on, watch that. Y'all, let me go back to 49. Let me spend a little time on 49. Go back to 49. Give me the translation on that. And he begins beating the other servants. Watch how you treat everybody. You know, and not just, you might not come in here beating up people with your fists, but watch what you say. Who have you beaten up with your words today? I'm telling you. I put a Selah on there just to think about that for a minute. Sometimes it's time to examine self. Lord, I've got too much invested. I was telling somebody yesterday in my office, I mean, you mean tell me you gonna miss out for them little petty things? You know, they came in, and I thought it was going to be some major issues that it was giving them a hiccup or a hang-up. And after I listened to them, I said, you mean to tell me that little mess you're going to allow to keep you from your heavenly reward? That little mess? You know, and I think to myself, some of y'all, we got to laughing in there because I told them, I said, you're going to mess around and get beat up in hell. Ain't gonna whoop your knot. You're gonna get down there. You mean to tell me, you know how you going to, you know, and I'm not saying it's gonna be like that. But listen, you know, I think to myself, you know, you're going into prison. And, you know, all them guys sitting in there, and, you know, this one done murdered, and this one did this and that, and they hear that little petty stuff you did. Oh, you're gonna get your block knocked off. You know, come on, saints. If you're gonna go to hell, might as well go first class. Might as well not go to hell from just having a bad attitude and being unforgiving over some little stuff that don't matter no how. I didn't get no amens, but truth anyhow. Where are we at? Hurry up. Verse number 50. Boy, are we at 50? The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be what? Joy and gladness. They're going to be partying down in hell. Oh, boy. Come on. No, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Come on. You ain't that big and bad that you just going to all of a sudden come down there and just take over. No. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ain't going to be nothing down there but regrets. Come on. All right. Chapter number 25. Y'all read a whole chapter. Give yourself a hand. Praise the Lord. 25. All right. Now, we're there. You made it. And it's not getting no better. All of this stuff tonight is something to think about. Lord, help me to be ready. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, notice all of them were virgins, but all of them didn't make it. Praise the Lord. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And that's something, all of them living virtuously. All of them virgins. They ain't out there just giving themselves over to any old man and acting a plumb fool. But not all of them made it. What I'm saying is that, you know, just because you come into church and, you know, and I'm telling you now, you know, you might be avoiding a whole lot of things and still not make it. And five of them were wise and five of them were what? All right. You can be a wise virgin or you can be a foolish virgin. You can be a wise saint of God coming to church all the time, or you can be foolish. It's some foolish people that come to church all the time. Amen. Come to church every Sunday. Come to church Monday through Friday. You know, fast and prayed up, all them things. Still act a fool, you know. They that were foolish took their lamps, and guess what they had? And took what? No oil with them. Y'all hear that? Let me get up on that one. Hold on, one more time, verse number 3. They that were foolish, they had the lamps, but there was a problem. They took no oil with them. How many of y'all yesterday didn't have your glasses? Knew about the solar eclipse, been telling you about the solar eclipse, but yet you still didn't have no glasses. Sister Sierra? I'm just messing with you. Amen. But they might not have no glasses, but I got some oil. Come on, somebody. Let me pause for a minute now. I'm thinking about this, about that oil thing on today. Go back real quick to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Come on, let me just take a little break over here. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Might not have a whole lot of things, but Lord have mercy. I thank God got some oil. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Come on, verse number 2, hurry up on this one. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? Some of you all in here, as you look at your life right now, you might have a lot of disappointments. You might have a lot of sadness. There might be some things that you still got on the altar, some prayers that have not been answered quite yet, things that have not been realized. You might have a lot of disappointments in your life. But thank God, anybody in here, I might have disappointment, but I still got my oil. Come on, give the Lord some praise if you got some oil. Come on, relationships might not be working the way you want to. Job might have some problems. Kids might be cutting up. Might got pain in your body, but thank God. Come on, anybody in here, I still got some oil. And that's the main thing. Anybody glad to have the main thing? It's the main thing. And if you got oil, you got enough. All right, now y'all know this story. She had a pot of oil. And because she had that pot, bring what you have to the Lord. And Lord and Elisha multiplied it. Now let's get back to the story at hand here. Have some oil. All right. Now, what is oil? New Testament. What is oil a symbol of? Somebody help me out. Sister Teresa, yes, ma'am. How many got the Holy Ghost down in their soul? All right. Amen. All right, Brother Jalen. I remember that night you got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, amen. All right. Amen. How many people remember that night you got the Holy Ghost? What a change that will make. Doesn't it make all the difference? Amen. There's a whole lot. Let me stop and just cut up for a minute. There's a whole lot of people. I thank God to be apostolic Pentecostal. I do. I'm glad to be, you know, I don't apologize for that. I thank God. And not just to be apostolic Pentecostal, but to have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of me. My God, thank God. You know, there are a lot of Christians, and there's a whole lot of things that even, you know, I agree with other people. You know, I thank God that, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so glad that you know the story about how he was born and how born of a Virgin Mary, how he died and how he rose again. I'm so glad there's many things that I can agree with you on, you know, and I can identify in this common ground that we have. But I'm so glad that I know the Lord, not just with words on a page, but I know him in experience. Somebody give God praise for the Holy Ghost. Come on. Yeah. I'm telling you. You know, and I think to myself, if I didn't have just two little scriptures to rub together, I didn't know no word at all, you know, and I'm telling you, there is an experience, I'm not telling you not to know the word of the Lord. I think that's important for you to know the word of the Lord, but if you was just newly saved and you didn't hardly have no scriptures at all you knew was just Jesus wept and the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, you might only have that one little scripture, but you know God in experience, and you can call him Abba Father. You would know he was real. Come on, somebody. And I told somebody yesterday, when you get, now mess around and get the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to tell you this thing, if I left this thing, it would haunt me till the day I died. You know why? Because I know he's real. I know he's real. I might try to walk away from it. You might try to backslide. You might try to escape about that thing. You will never be able to say that this thing wasn't real because you know God in experience. My God. Anybody got the Holy Ghost for real? Heard yourself speak with other tongues. My God. Heard Sister Joyce say one time, school bus was a little bit more yellow. Grass was more green. Sky was more blue. I mean, anybody remember your Holy Ghost experience? Blew my mind. My Lord. And it is something when you get it like that, can't nobody take it away from you. My Lord, somebody might try to, you might just pull you over to the side, and you might go ahead and tell them you done come too late. I already found everything. Oh, I'm so satisfied. Don't need nothing else. I'm so glad you got your look. You know, I've seen some of these people, they getting so good at having their, even the Jehovah's Witness now. You used to come door knocking. Now they got little kiosk and things. Y'all notice that? You know, you be sitting there, I mean, it's well put together, you know, and they're very polite, very professional, you know, pull you over to the side, you know, they pull me over, and I'm not rude, I don't know about you all, I'm not rude to people like that, not rude to them, but you know what, I can at least tell them, you know what, I'm so satisfied, what I have found in Jesus Christ, you know, I got the Holy Ghost down on the inside of me, just like the Bible says, so glad that you take the time out to try to tell me something else, oh, but what I found on this side, and by the time you get to cutting up, they're going to hope you do keep walking down the sidewalk, come on, get a lot of praise, Holy Ghost feel, anybody got oil in your lamp, hey, glad I got some oil, oh yeah. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. My God. My Lord. And as I'm on this journey, I'm telling you what, I'm trying to learn the word of God, trying to be a good pastor, trying to rightly divide the word of God. My Lord. I want to get my intellect. You know, I want to give God not only my heart, but my mind, my intellect, and all those things. But guess what? You know, I might not have it all together in my intellect right now, but I got God in experience. Oh, I know him. Hallelujah. for myself. He's a real God. Yeah, he is. He's real. I can feel him in my soul. Messiah. Hallelujah. And this is just a foretaste. Oh, God. Just a little glimpse of heaven. Hallelujah. Ah, God. And that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, one day is going to quicken these mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Anybody looking forward to that day? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anamoshiah. Hallelujah. Come on here, y'all. Hallelujah. God is good. My Lord. So I'm just glad to have oil in my lamp. And I'm going to tell you what. Don't try to wait too late. Why you got the time to go after the oil? Go after while you got time. I mean, don't try to pull up at church. Everybody already got up out of here, and you done come to 6240 too late. Come on. I mean, and the thing about it is the Holy Ghost ain't just locked to 6240 North Georgetown Road. And then there have been many other people. I didn't get the Holy Ghost here. I got the Holy Ghost somewhere else. And it's just as real as y'all got it here at Agape. Praise the Lord. Come on here. Anybody else get the Holy Ghost somewhere else? Praise the Lord. Amen. Still real. Anybody get the Holy Ghost at Agape? Still same Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Somebody else got the Holy Ghost in their living room. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Somebody else driving in their car. My Lord. Had to pull over to the side of the road. Holy Ghost just fell on. Bishop told a story. Young lady, what did he say in the classroom? My Lord, lifted up her eyes to heaven or whatever, began to praise the Lord. And next thing, the Holy Ghost fell in the classroom, in a home economics class. Come on, y'all. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. My Lord. All right. Oh. I'm trying to sound real intellectual, but sometimes we cut up over here. I mean, because I'm telling you, I feel like that. Thank God. All right. So get the oil down in your lamp. Let's go over here to, I just got to cut up some more. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We might as well just keep on cutting up. They already think we fools anyhow. I'll be a fool. I'm telling you what, you know, people will say, let the world talk. Let them think what they think. Let them say what they say. Oh, I found in him a resting place. He's made me glad. Oh my God, I found joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace in the Holy Ghost. My Lord, everything I need is in him. Oh God, if you decided you don't like me, as long as I got him, I'll be all right. Oh, I got, you know, I'm telling you, that's the most precious thing that you have. Amen. It really is. All right, now, all right, go to 15 and 50. All right, what's going to happen, y'all? Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, let me tell you something. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Anybody looking forward to that change that's going to happen? Our God. I can just imagine that. You know, this is me and my little mind trying to wrap. I can just imagine, you know, just driving down the street. I had breakfast this morning with Sister Donna. Sister Donna Johnson came in there. We was driving down the street, and we got to talking about this in the car. And I just think to myself, I'm just riding with Sister Donna in the car. Oh, that's friend, good friend. You know, and what if all of a sudden just we driving down there to go get breakfast, and all of a sudden just body just changed. Driving in my car, I'm like, Lord, I look over at Sister Donna. Sister Donna just got her little youthful glow, you know. I'm like, Lord, I'm all the gray off my head gone, you know. I'm like, yeah, I got this glorified. But I'm like, Lord, what happened? All of a sudden, I look over. We done driving down 38th Street past Crown Hill. Oh, Lord. And I see the saints starting to come. I don't know how it's going to happen. My God. But I want to be a part of what God is doing. My God, in anything that I'm going through, any test or any trial or any pain or any adverse experience is not worth me missing out on my heavenly reward. My God. Hallelujah. Hosea. It's not worth it. Hallelujah. Hatamoshiah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, therefore, hold on, lean on in on this one, my beloved brethren. Be ye steadfast. Come on, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Come on, help this preacher out. Just tell somebody on your row, your labor is not in vain. Come on, tell one more prayer. Your labor is not in vain. Come on, stay in the race, little discouraged child of God. Come on, stay the course. Come on, little struggling Christian. It's all right. Going to be all right after a while. Trouble don't last always. Come on, daddy going to come and get you after a while, my Lord. Come on, Shia. I know you've been waiting there with your coat on, been ready. I know you had your bags packed for a while. You might feel a little disappointed in this current, but he's going to come after a while. And he that shall come will come. Anybody believe that Jesus is coming? Come on, I want to be one more preacher who stands through the ages of time and declares that Jesus is coming again. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. He's coming. Come on and give the Lord some praise today. Oh, get ready. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, my God, I didn't encourage you. Be better than any trip to Hawaii, Fiji, wherever you can go. Come on, make heaven, make heaven, make heaven. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Make heaven. Hatam Oshaya. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My Lord, I know y'all heard it many a time, but come on, go over here with me one more time. 1 Thessalonians. Oh, hallelujah. Hotanam Oshaya. Oh, glory. Oh, and I can just only imagine the chaos that will break out in this world. Ooh, after that thing, all the, you know, saints, poof, just gone. Folk gone. Folk auntie gone. Kids gone. You know, unfortunately, some of the saints, you're going to try to call other saints. And they ain't going to pick up the phone. You're going to leave message after message. You know, come on. In the chaos and the confusion that's going to break out in this world. I don't know about you, but I want to be gone. I want to be caught up with them. Hallelujah. I'm also, sometimes it's good just to examine self. Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. Examine self. God, if anything in me not pleasing, Lord, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. I want to be ready when you come, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, and the beautiful thing about it is, don't you know that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you? I mean, it ain't like he put you on no, you know, no big old long, you know, type of thing. Come on here. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. At that moment, forgiven. It ain't no, you know, it ain't no probationary period with God. You're forgiven. Now, come on, I'm going to tell you now. I know we know about there is church discipline, but I'm going to tell you what, yes. But even that particular part, forgiven is forgiven. Come on here, somebody. My God, yeah, you might have to spend a little time getting yourself in order, you know, amen, and going through that. But let me let you know, come on here. If God had said, come, my people, come on. And you had things right with God, amen, you be all right. You go make it. I'm not in the business of keeping nobody out of heaven. Y'all hear that? And hope they do go. Oh. Come on, I want everybody to make it. Because you know what? It's not his will that any should perish. My God. Oh, God, I thank you. Come on, just spend a moment just thanking the Lord. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I appreciate you. Oh, I thank you. I bless your name, God. Hallelujah. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Come on, y'all. I know y'all done read this how many times, and I'm going to read it again. I hope I'm going to keep reading it. Where are we at? 4 and where are we at? Third, that's towards the end. I'm in Timothy. That's why it's not making sense to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I'm on, Brother Chambers. All right, but I would not have you ignorant. I ain't trying to have you. Don't you be silly now, all right? Now, I know, you know, these Thessalonians, they were kind of concerned, you know. Oh, so-and-so done passed away and then spent all their life working for the Lord. They missing out on they're going to miss out, you know. And he has to get them in check and tell them, no, they didn't miss out on anything at all. They're going to receive their reward first, all right? But I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It don't matter. You can stand on a grave. You can try to put a big cement block on top of it. You ain't going to be able to do nothing to keep them down. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I used to not want to be buried. I'm serious. I used to have that fear of being buried because I used to watch some scary movies and, you know, people hear about people getting buried alive and clawing on the top of it. And I thought to myself, not me. When I die, y'all going to bury me in a mausoleum somewhere and keep the thing unlocked so I can just come on out. I thought about that thing. No embalming necessary. Just put me right on, slide me in the thing, keep it unlocked, and I'll be right with y'all. I don't trust nobody. Y'all might get it wrong. I might have one more breath in me. I thought to myself, oh, when I started looking at the prototype, when I started looking about how Jesus got up, and when I started thinking about, you know, when I finally learned that the reason why they rolled back the stone, they didn't roll back that stone for Jesus to come out the grave or to come out the tomb. Because you already know what happened next. They already talked about how they was in that room together. You know, he didn't just all of a sudden just ascend and just go off the scene the moment that he rose from the dead for 40 days with many infallible proofs. Come on, he showed. And so in other words, they're in that room together. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Poof, just appear up in the room. Thomas didn't see him. Then all of a sudden, oh, you know, poof, right up in the room. You know, a glorified body. And so if he can just come into that room, certainly he didn't need them to roll back the stone for him to be able to get out of the tomb. The reason why the stone was rolled out is so that Peter and John and the women can come and see that he rose again. Come on, somebody. My Lord, and in the same way, if he got up, come on, I'm going to get up one day. Because that same spirit, come on, it dwells on the inside of me. Amen. And I ain't going to have to worry about me clawing on no top or whatever. I don't care. You can bury me 12 feet, 18. Come on now, 24 feet down. I'm going to get up. My Lord. I don't know how we're going to go. Might be in the bottom of the sea somewhere. You know, fish boo-boo. Just floating around. I mean, years and years and years. But I don't know how it's going to work. But somehow the Lord's going to bring this thing, this glorified body. He's going to get us up out of here. My Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going too far. I'm losing y'all. All right, here we go. Where are we at? Let's go to, I only got about 10 more minutes. Luke chapter number 12. Am I doing all right tonight? I'm just enjoying Jesus on tonight. All right, enjoying Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 12. Let's go here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go over here to maybe verse number, where do I want? Let's go to 12 and 13. I think this is a good parable from Jesus. All right. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. You know, if folk get to fighting. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, I can just imagine somebody just patting their belly. Soul, where are we at? Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Y'all hear that? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, how many people know you can't take nothing with you at all? I'm starting to learn that. I think it's something about when you get into your 40s or these middle-aged years. I mean, most of us who make it in life this far, you have it. It hasn't come without loss, you know. And what we start to do, there was a side to me when I was younger, in my younger years, that I wanted to save everything, you know. I had a brother who passed away. You want to save memorabilia. You know, my uncle passed away. And next thing you know, you start saving everything. And then you got all these big tubs filled with pictures and all these things. And then pretty soon, one day, you look in the mirror and you think to yourself, well, hold on, wait a minute. I ain't going to be here either, you know. For you know, then, you know, then daddy went, you know, daddy passed away. And I had all daddy's, a lot of daddy's stuff. And then after a while, you start realizing that you can't carry nothing out of here. And you know what? You start thinning some stuff out. And you start making some wise decisions about how much stuff that you're going to carry forward. Because you realize you can't, if I can't even carry my own stuff forward, surely I can't carry yours too. Come on. All right. I don't know how I got off on that. That's just a little wisdom, right? The little nugget of wisdom. You know, don't take everything. Some of that stuff, you got to let it go. Learn how to give stuff away. And let me say this to some of you all. Wear that perfume. Wear that cologne. That cologne probably about, you know, it's been sitting in that drawer and you've been saving that little last squirt. Take that plastic off that couch. You know, go up talking to some of y'all in here. Go on and walk on your carpet. That's why I told, you know, people even in this church when we did the renovations, you know, I told somebody, I said, we're not about to start acting like my grandma's house in here. I remember grandma, boy, I came in her house. Don't put your head against my couch. You got grease in your head. That was back in the day with Jerry Curls. Boy, grandma take everybody. Oh, put your head on my couch. You got plastic on that couch. Grandma had one of them plastic runners that run all the way through the living room. She walk on her shag carpet. But guess what? Grandma gone, you know, and couldn't take none of that shag carpet or that Devonport with her. That's what he called it back then, Devonport. Grandma didn't call no purse. It was a pocketbook. There wasn't no trash can. That was a waste paper basket. Refrigerator. That was an ice box. You know? That was an old time way. All right? We can't take nothing with you at all. That's what I'm saying. So listen, you know, don't be just, some of us, we just do too much, you know? All right. Learn how to let some scope. Wear this, they would tell us, wear this life like a loose garment. Come on, because you can't hold on to everything. All right, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. For life is more than meat. Y'all hear that? And body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for neither they sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? All right, now I'm going to go on down here to verse number 35. Y'all hear this? Come on, tune in. I only got a couple more minutes left. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Y'all hear that? And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. How soon? Hold on now. Let me just get something together. Let me go over here and vacuum the floor. Let me go over here and, you know, come on, let me get everything. No, immediately open up the door. You ain't going to have time to vacuum, sweep up, clean up, apologize. You ain't going to have time to change clothes, none of them things. Immediately open the door. Blessed are those servants. Come on, you read verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. In this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore, all you Agapians, everybody here, but be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. When you think not. Somebody, oh, this, it was going to happen April 8th during the solar eclipse. And April 8th passed, and now you're about to let down your guard. Might happen April 10th. Might happen April 11th. Might happen, you know, May 30th, May, hold on, how many days in May? you don't know. So just be ready at all times. Don't know. Come on, there might be some signs of the time, but you don't know. Come on, don't let you down your guard. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men. So notice that the Lord is concerned about how we treat other people. I'm telling you, I try to say that often in this church because some of us, we work constantly on our vertical relationship with the Lord. You got a beautiful prayer life. You fast and, you know, all of them. You read your Bible. You study. But yet your vertical or your horizontal relationships with others is what God is concerned about. You know, and some of us, we need to learn how to just leave your gift on the altar, pipe all that down. Maybe you need to go, instead of fasting, maybe you need to go and take somebody a meal or something, you know, and look out for somebody. Maybe, you know, instead of praying for a whole hour in the day, maybe you would have got a 10-minute prayer through and the Lord would have been a lot more pleased with you if you would have just called, you know, your auntie that you ain't spoke to in 22 years that you still mad at. You know, and you're doing all that praying, and the prayer just, you come get up sweating, you know, and all the things, hair messed up, Lord, you've been praying. I mean, you know, and all them things, and you ain't got one prayer through. Horse, you know, all them things, you've been fasting all the time, coming here just as skinny as you can be, and God ain't heard nothing, ain't nothing changed, you know, because he's concerned about how, come on, treat your spouse right, treat your kids right. You know, even the scripture talks about hide not thy face from your own family. I'm telling you, you know, some of us, we get, you know, A plus. Ooh, I give you A plus. But when the Lord is looking at this, D minus, come on, can't speak to me. You're always mad at something, always. I mean, every time, it's certain people, it's just like every time you know it's going to be another issue. You ever met somebody like that? It's always something. Come on. Amen. Let's grow up in God. You know, and let's focus on the things that he's concerned about. You know, it's a lot of times we want to go through all these works. And then at the end of the day, he looks at us like we're just the same thing as the Pharisees. I'm trying to help somebody. Take it or leave it. I'm trying to help you out. You know, I'm not telling you there's not a discipline in those things. There ought to be a discipline in your walk. You ought to have some prayer time, all them things. You ought to read your word. But the scripture, it still stays the same. I mean, come on. You can't just do all that. Again, 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. You have a choice. I don't know how many people in here want to be wise. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, here's what I'd like to do. We're going to go ahead and stop there on tonight. Let's give the Lord praise for Bible class on tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Good class. I enjoyed myself. That was good eating. I was just sitting over here. It didn't even matter. I'm over here just eating myself. It was good eating. All right. Now, I want to say this. Thursday night, I have to be at Bethesda. I hope that I can see some familiar faces that are there. That'll be a beautiful thing for us to go out and support our sister church. They have been through a lot here recently, and the Lord has blessed them. You know, it took what was a tragedy and the sanctuary flooding. I came and saw about them several weeks ago. And when I came there, the carpet was gone and all these things. And they had I think the baptismal pool had leaked. Well, the Lord has blessed them. We got new chairs, new carpet. And so let's go over there and be a blessing to them and to celebrate along with them. All right, this Thursday night, if you can make it. Also, I'd like to say we have a guest speaker on Sunday. Elder Hollis is going to be here with us. So I know that's going to be good eating, good word. Amen. Sister Angie, put that slide up. She's doing a casting call for a play that's coming up in June. Don't let it be said too late. That went with Bible class on tonight. All right. And so if you have an interest in acting, please see Sister Angie. Sister Angie, where are you at?